Absolutely insane video for you today. I want to start out, I probably have to say this legally, I'm not a financial advisor. I do not understand what financial advisors do or what is the best way to invest your money. I am simply a man who has money invested for retirement and has paid attention to how that has gone for people over the last 30 years or so. And one thing that has become obvious, if you were disciplined over the last 30 years, and of course past performance is no guarantee of future returns, but if you just made sure that you were invested broadly in the stock market, things went well for you. If you spent all your time like buying and selling and day trading and trying to figure out the best stocks, probably you underperformed the market and you spent a bunch of time focused on something that wasn't adding that much value to the world. But also, if you worked with someone else who was doing that for you, that probably also didn't help very much. Now, if those people made sure you were invested in the market and you didn't have money just like sitting around doing nothing, then they did help you. If you would have invested that money anyway, the percentage points that they would have taken off the top for managing your money probably made it so that you would have less money than if you had just done it yourself. I said, done it yourself. What is it? Well, I can tell you, for the last 30 years, it has been buying what is called a low-cost U.S. equity index fund. Let me break that down for you. Index fund means you're not paying someone to guess which stocks will win. The fund simply follows a list of U.S. companies like the S&P 500 or the entire U.S. stock market. It's a way to invest in the market itself rather than trying to outsmart it. Low-cost means the fund takes very little off the top, often just a few dollars a year for $10,000 of investment. That's a big deal because over decades, even tiny percentage fees compound, just like any percentage can compound. And they can quietly eat away thousands or tens of thousands of dollars from your future. And U.S. equity means the fund like indexes to some market of American companies, from tech giants to banks to manufacturers and retailers, giving you a slice of the whole U.S. economy in one simple investment. Now, some funds focus on different parts of the market, like some focus on the biggest players, others spread your money across thousands of companies, large and small, but you don't get like an equal amount of every stock. This would be silly and it would break everything. The index fund indexes to the market capitalization, which is just like the value of each company. And that means the bigger a company is, the more total stock value it has out in the world, the bigger it has of like a slice of your pie. Example, if your index fund indexes to the S&P 500, which is just like a list of the 500 biggest companies in the US, and Apple makes up 5% of the S&P 500 by value, then about 5% of your money goes into Apple. A big drugstore like CVS is big. It's going to be on the S&P 500, but it's much smaller than Apple. So you're still going to own some CVS, but it's going to be like a tiny fraction of a percent. This way, your investment naturally tilts toward the companies that carry the most weight in the economy, because that's how the economy itself is shaped. And as companies rise and fall in value, the fund automatically shifts with them. No one's trying to outsmart the market here. The fund is just riding the market. So what everybody says who's like not trying to sell you something is the thing you should do is to buy a low or zero cost U.S. equities index fund, and that should be where all your money is. Because the great thing about these simple index funds is that finance people don't get to take a cut. So it's a way to be diversified and just have a slice of the whole American economy without paying like finance people to like figure out exactly how to try and win over all the other finance people who are trying to win. There are a bunch of funds that are managed super carefully and they're smaller and they're a lot of work for a lot of high paid people. But big index funds are simple, mass market products, so companies like Fidelity and Vanguard make them available very cheap or even for free. For me, over the last decade, most of my retirement money has been in a low-cost S&P 500 index fund. It's very low stress, but I do invest some of my money personally. And one thing that I found in doing that is that I worry about it all the time. Like I worry if what I've chosen to do has under or overperformed the S&P 500. And it's been like both, like it's been way above it and it's been way below it. It's like so volatile compared to just buying the market and waiting. So there's two big problems with investing my money personally. First, my life has never been improved by worrying, and it increases my worry. Second, it becomes like a job, and I don't want managing my money to be my job. I want my job to be my job, because managing money doesn't feel like it actually adds any value to the world. So that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years. It's turned out well. But I have decided to make a change. And this is a big deal for me. Now, it's not super huge, but I'm going to explain it, and you can do whatever you want with that information. So again, one of these U.S. equities index funds is buying all of the stocks that fit into the category, but it's weighted to the size of the company. So Google is on the S&P 500, and so is CVS. But of course, I don't own an equal amount of CVS and Google. Google is like 30 times bigger than CVS. So the index fund tracks that, and owning the index fund means that I own 30 times more Google stock than I own CVS stock. This is fine. This is how index funds work. It's how they're supposed to work. It's how they perfectly track the growth of the index. But over the last 10 years, especially over the last 5 years, the percentage of the S&P 500 index fund that I am invested in, that is in the 10 biggest companies in that fund, has gotten very high. It's now like 38%. So buying the index fund is like a way of diversifying in 500 different companies, but 38% of my money is in 10 different companies. Also, most of those companies have grown a lot recently, including Nvidia, and they're betting very heavily on AI. The AI boom, which I personally consider to be very speculative, potentially a bubble, has made it so that Nvidia alone is 7% of the S&P 500. And one of the big reasons I like being in a broad index fund like this is that it is diversified. But now it's just not that diversified. Nearly 40% of the value is in 10 stocks. That's a historic level of concentration. And inside of those 10 stocks are a lot of companies that do very similar things. They're Microsoft, they're Nvidia, they're Google, they're Amazon. I feel like my money is more exposed than I would like it to be. I feel like by virtue of having a lot of my money in the S&P 500, I am now kind of betting on a big AI future, and that's not a future that I definitely think is going to happen. So I'm taking 25% of the money that I have invested in the S&P 500, and I'm going to put it in a mix of different things. Some of it is going to go into an S&P 500 value index fund, which takes off some of these higher performing stocks that have really high price to earnings ratios. Some of it's going to go into mid-cap stocks, which are just smaller companies that have smaller valuations. And then for the first time, and I've had people like say that this is a good idea no matter what, I'm moving some money into an international index fund that just represents the world's economy rather than just one country's, which is another kind of diversification. And I also have, and like this is where you shouldn't listen to me, but I also have like some logic as to why to move into like some percentage of my money into small cap stocks. First, the S&P 500 has grown a lot over the last 5 years, just a huge amount. And the price of the stock versus the earnings of the companies, that ratio is out of whack. Now, it might be that this all makes sense and that they'll have the AI war and at the end there'll be just a ton of winners and they'll just explode in value. But this absolutely seems speculative to me, and I remain unconvinced that AGI is nearby, and also even if it is, that it will be tremendously economically beneficial to the companies controlling the models themselves. This is something that I'd like to make a video about. I don't know if I know enough about it to do it, though. You don't really have to take my word for this. You could totally disagree, and I would be like, yeah, you're probably right. But I'm worried that my money is concentrated in a sector that is speculative. Now, second, why small cap stocks specifically? They have not grown very much in the same time period, and the valuations of these companies are not similarly inflated. Like, the companies are valued more like normal companies. They don't have these weird price-to-earnings ratios. And because of that, they're not going to have to do a bunch of, like, weird high-performance, high-risk, high reward backflips over the next 5 or 10 years to justify their valuations. They're just gonna have to be themselves. And third, this is probably my most controversial take, but I think it may be that the majority of the value of AI will flow to smaller companies rather than big ones. Now, this never happens, so why would it happen? If there was just one big company, I'd be like, okay, well, we're in a lot of trouble. But what it looks like is there's gonna be a bunch of, there's Gemini, there's ChatGPT, there's Claude, there's others. Microsoft has one that I can't think of a name of. There's a bunch of these companies. They all have different models. My guess is, and this is where I get super speculative, my guess is being the best AI model will not be that much better than being like a value, like a cheap one. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I feel like these big companies that are spending, you know, billions and billions of dollars might get a lot of competition from people who are just taking advantage of the innovations that will happen over the next 5 years and just compete with them without having spent all of the money. And so they won't have this like weird cap table. They won't have all the loans. They won't have all of the infighting. They won't have these lunatics in charge. But again, what do I know? But I just think that it's totally possible that AI will just be like a tool It'll just be a tool that engineering companies use to develop new materials and drug companies use to develop new drugs and stores use to manage inventory better. And I think that these giant companies providing the AI models will actually be competing with each other for those customers, in part by competing on price. And that might mean that the value delivered to small companies will be bigger than value delivered to the big AI companies. Who knows, though? That's a thing that could happen. And if I'm wrong, 75% of my money is still in the safe place that everybody says your money should be, which is the S&P 500. But I do think it's possible that we're gonna see a world where AI is a useful commodity and the companies providing it will be competing for the business of many companies. And they'll all make money, but the AI companies aren't gonna become like gods. Now, you might be thinking, why not move all your money into small cap stocks? Well, because I think that would be very risky. I'm not an expert, but I've not seen many experts say that you should do that. Returns in the Russell 2000, which is like a small stock index fund, have been half of what they have been in the S&P 500 over the last 10 years. So it certainly would have been a bad idea to have any amount of money in the Russell 2000 over that time. You would have made half as much money if you'd had it in the S&P 500. So like, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to feel comfortable taking that kind of risk. But this just seems to me like something I kind of have to do because I'm not comfortable with the lack of diversification in the S&P 500 index funds and how many of those companies have very high price to earnings ratios and how those same companies that dominate the S&P and have high PE ratios seem like they would be pretty negatively impacted by a potential future where AI turns out to be an important commodity rather than like a massive world-changing economy exploding super intelligence. And I actually think that second outcome literally just isn't as likely. I know everybody in the AI world, like they're all over there in San Francisco being like, man, everything's about to end. The singularity is now. We're on the droop. The curve looks like this and we're at this part right here. But look, if that's where we're at, will there be money in the future? Will any of it matter? I don't know. I don't know. It's also weird for me to make this video. I'm not a finance YouTuber. I'm a science YouTuber with a side of whatever I want to do today. But I felt like this was like a big, like, this is a big change for me. I'm a very much a just buy a market index and hold it. So actually making a choice feels with a significant amount of my savings is a really big deal. And I felt like, I don't know, I should share. And look, maybe I shouldn't because I could be totally wrong, but I felt like I should share. It just, what I do know is that that I have many times said to people, just buy S&P 500 and hold it. And now I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep doing that, but I'm also gonna do a second thing because the market cap of the S&P is so focused in the top 10 stocks and so focused in a particular sector, which is AI, which is not a sector that we know about. It's not a mature sector. We do not know what it's going to be. So it just seems risky to do the thing that I have been doing and have advised people to do many times. And so I made a video about it.